This morning we put the message early in the service so that we can rejoice together and sing and understand more about God's Word, even in the way that we sing today. So if you please take your Bibles and turn over to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. As Pastor Rod mentioned a few moments ago, at the end of the service we have a bookmark, and it's actually for all the young men, college or career age and up, and especially for the fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. Just out of curiosity, I wonder today if I could have all the great-grandfathers stand. If you're a great, not just you're a grandfather and you think you're great, but you're actually a great-grandfather. If you'd please stand up. I know there's a few here among us. We have some great-grandfathers. I was wondering if you're going to stand, Mr. Burke, and several other great-grandfathers. And then how about grandfathers? So you have the grandfathers stand up. If you're a grandfather, oh, keep standing, great-grandfathers. We won't keep you defying gravity that much longer. And that's all the great-grandfathers. And now, and by the way, I want to hasten to add this. If you haven't announced to anybody yet that your wife is expecting, don't stand on this next one. But if you are a father, if you would please stand. If you're a father here this morning as well. Now, I want you all to look across the congregation this morning, and I want you to think about what is going through the minds of these men as they think about their families. They think about their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. And it is with that in mind that we come this morning to Psalm 46. Thank you, gentlemen. You may be seated. Let's ask the questions that the Word of God can help us today to answer, as we understand what it means to be still and know that He is God. Notice in Psalm 46, first of all, the little note that's there at the top, because it will be significant later in the message, that this is addressed to the chief musician for the sons of Korah. For the sons of Korah. Now, when you hear the name Korah, what are the other two names that come to mind? Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Those were three men who rebelled against Moses, and the earth swallowed them up. The trembling ground, a pit opened up and swallowed them. But here are the sons of Korah, those who survived that terrible incident. It is to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth, beginning with verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh the wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Shall we pause to pray together? Thank you, dear Heavenly Father,
for the understanding that you are the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, and that you are with us. Lord, it is this understanding today that causes us to be still and know that you are God and that you will be exalted in the earth. So I ask your Heavenly Father today that you would, by your Spirit, move and work in us. O Holy Spirit of God, take command, I pray. Lord, cause that your words would be exalted. Cause that Jesus Christ would be exalted, and that we might all together learn what it means to be like the sons of Korah, and like Jacob, and like Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, so that all of us together might understand on this Father's Day what it is to be still and know that he is God. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As you undoubtedly know, on Wednesday of this week, a gunman stood on the edge of a baseball field in Alexandria, Virginia, and opened fire. In his pocket was a list of Republican members of the Congress, including the most conservative members of the U.S. House. And among those who were listed on that list that this sniper had in his pocket was a man whom many of us here have great respect for, Representative Jim Jordan. His name was on the list of those that this sniper was desiring to kill on that day. As you know, he injured Representative Scalise from Louisiana. Peggy Noonan, who was a writer, speech writer for Ronald Reagan, she has won numerous awards for her writing, wrote an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal on Thursday of this week, and it was entitled, "Rage is All the Rage, and It's Dangerous." She wrote these words, "What we're doing now, exciting the unstable, not only with images, but with words and on every platform." I think she was including social media in that. She said, "It's all too hot and revved up. This week we had a tragedy, and if we don't cool things down, we'll have more." Just 24 hours before the shooting, talk show host Michael Savage had warned his listeners about marginal folks who are set to detonate and kill somebody. He told his listeners, "We are at the boiling point, and there's going to be a civil war." When we read about the violent hot spots in the world today, we now know that our nation's capital is among them. And so for all these fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers who stood up just a few moments ago, those today who undoubtedly will receive wishes from their children, they will be rejoicing perhaps over the opportunity to sit down and have lunch and be thanked and gratitude expressed to them for all that they have done, and family members who wish them well. There are some really basic questions that are between the two ears of all these men who stood up this morning. And they are questions about what is the nature of what is happening around us. What wisdom could we impart to our children in these very troubling times? What's the future of this nation? What scriptures could we share to help them make sense of all these things? And as you can tell today, I believe a wonderful answer is right here in Psalm 46. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen." You could translate that as the nations. "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And who is this? Who is this God? He is the Lord of hosts. He is the God of Jacob, which will be even more significant to us before we get to the end of this message. He is our fortress. He is our refuge. And we believe that what you're looking at when you see the word Selah in the Psalms, that it is an extended rest for the musicians. In other words, they were to sing these wonderful words and then grow silent to let the full impact of those words sink into the souls of those to whom they minister. And so it's appropriate that you and I would think today in terms of be still and know that I am God. These are the words of our great God, the God of Jacob, the Lord of hosts. He is indeed our mighty fortress. This psalm is actually the basis for Martin Luther's magnificent hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. In fact, that's the first hymn that we will be singing in just a few moments at the end of this message to remind ourselves about this. And beginning with that very first verse in Psalm 46, you can see how Martin Luther was moved when the Lord said, yeah, he understood from Psalm 46, God is our refuge or our fortress. He is our strength. He is a very present help in times of trouble. He is a very present help when we need them. What is it that the great-grandfathers and grandfathers and grandfather, the fathers, could say to their children that long after they are in the grave, they could still say to their children, here's what you need to know. You need to know that a mighty fortress is our God. You need to know that He has answered me in the day of my distress. You need to know that He is our refuge and our strength. About that opening phrase, Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote these words. He said, not our armies or our fortresses. Israel's boast is in Jehovah, the only living and true God. Others vaunt their impregnable castles placed on inaccessible rocks and secured with gates of iron, but God is a far better refuge from distress than all of these. From passages such as this, we learn today that the fear of God is our greatest fortress in these very troubling times. The fear of God is our greatest fortress. To know Him and to practice His presence and to understand Him, this is what it means to be still and know that I am God. And that is what the Lord commands us to do today. These words expressed in verse 10 are two very powerful commands. Be still and know. Both imperatives, both commands. They are commanded to us, to all the hearers. And the way they're put together in the original language is really fascinating because they are arranged together as a cause and effect. Hifil and kol, they are put together as a cause and effect command. That is, you cannot really fulfill the second command until you obey the first command. You must learn what it means to be still. And in being still, know that He is God and that He is the Lord of hosts. He is the God of Jacob. And that ultimately, He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. Even when you and I wrestle with the reality of that and we wonder, Lord, don't you see all these things that are happening around us here? And we're tempted to ask with Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 12. When Jeremiah said, Lord, let me speak with you of your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are they all happy that deal very treacherously? Those questions have been in the minds of believers across the generations. They are in our minds today. But there is an answer here. And it is from the Lord that we should be still and know that He is God. To be still could be translated as relax, sit down, drop down. In other words, grow silent, be still. And to know has the idea of to know by experience. It is no mere mental acquaintance with the facts that is in view here. No, no. What you're really looking at here is to embrace Him by faith, to know God personally. And as you well know, that is impossible apart from the precious work of the Lord Jesus Christ in helping all of us, both in the prophecies about him and now what we know about him from the New Testament. It is through him alone that we really know God. And so today we are being commanded to, first of all, grow still, grow silent, be still. And in that silence, in that ceasing from the hustle bustle of phones ringing and computers flashing and TV screens moving from image to image and the constant chatter that is going on all around us, the great need of the hour is for each and every one of us to be still and know that he is God. And to somehow learn to impart to all of our children that he is God. This name, Lord of Hosts, Martin Luther translated it in his hymn, Lord Sabaoth His Name. We'll sing that together in just a few moments. That refers to Lord of Armies. In other words, he is the Lord of Hosts, the Lord of Armies. He has all the power necessary. Remember when the prophet asked the Lord to open the eyes of his young assistant and he saw the chariots of fire upon the mountains? He is the Lord of Hosts. He is the God, not the God that the world tries to say, oh, we all worship the same God here. Come on now, let's just all agree together that all religions are the same. No, friend, what you're looking at here is this is the God of Jacob that we're referring to. This is the God of the Bible that we have in mind. He alone is our refuge. He alone is our strength. And he testifies in the promise that you see there in verse 10, I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted among the heathen. You and I could say today from Philippians, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is, there will be a compulsory obedience. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. But how much better to embrace this great God by faith before that compulsory day comes when every knee must bow and every tongue must confess? How much better to press ahead and say by faith, Lord, I believe your wonderful ways. There's a fascinating passage in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, and I'm very grateful to Jay Anderson for pointing this out to me on a previous occasion when it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, on first blush glance, it looks like that's a reference to creation, but here's the problem. The problem is that the word worlds is our word eons. It's actually that way in the Greek, eons. In other words, by faith we understand that the ages, the eons of world history were framed by the word of God. You see, both Hebrews 11:3 and Psalm 46 are both testifying to the same thing, the reality that God is completely and totally in control. Well, when will this help us? How will we know when this will help us? Well, the psalm helps us. I won't go through a complete exposition of this, but if you read through Psalm 46, verses 2 through 5, look at what's being discussed there. He says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That sounds like a disaster of some kind, doesn't it? That's exactly what it is. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof. He says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Now, on first blush, we might look at that passage and say, you know, I think that's talking about the New Jerusalem. After all, there is a river of life in the New Jerusalem. But on second thought, we have to ask, well, what does it mean that God shall help her, and that right early? It sounds as if this city needs help. I think the better understanding here, it is speaking of Jerusalem during the millennium. This afternoon, if you would read through Ezekiel chapter 47, you would see that underneath the Eastern Gate, and many people here have actually been to Israel and seen that Eastern Gate, underneath that Eastern Gate, there will open up a wonderful river, and that river is going to flow all the way down to the Dead Sea. It will intersect the Dead Sea between En-Gedi and En-Eglim, and actually they will begin to fish again there. And there's no fishing right now in the Dead Sea. It's the Dead Sea. But in that time, during the millennium, there will come forth a wonderful river, like a river of life, out from under the Eastern Gate, and it will flow down there to the Dead Sea, and all will be able to recognize the newness of what our God has done. So he says in this passage, though there are natural disasters, though there are earthquakes, there's an earthquake swarm going on right now in Yellowstone, and they're very concerned about some of the things that are happening there. This is the season of storms. Very shortly, we will hear about hurricanes, typhoons. We will understand once again just how severe many of those storms are. In the midst of all those, when the waves roar, when the winds are just constantly pounding, he says about all these things, here is what we know. We know that we will not fear. Though the earth, picture it this morning. What if there were a terrible earthquake right where we stand this morning? What if everything were shaken loose and the building began to fall down upon us? Look at what he says here in verse 2. He says, therefore, we will not fear. Why? Because God is our fortress. God is our refuge. He is a very present help in all kinds of trouble. And so though natural disasters may plague us, may they be upon us, the fact is that at the end of all these things, at the end of the ages that the world that the Lord has framed, the ends of all the eons, here's what we know. All will be still. This morning, the soothing sounds of our backyard helped me to be still. Sipping my morning coffee, I listened to the call of the morning doves and robins called out their greetings while the neighbor's cat was sniffing through my garden. The weather forecast today tells us of rain, but oh, to be still like the water that was in the bird bath this morning that satisfies the thirst of the birds who come to our bird bath. I turned and looked, and there to my right was the picture that I have on the screen this morning. It is a picture of the flowers that my wife planted, and those flowers are known as the gooseneck loosestrife. I can't think of a better flower to think of on a morning when we're talking about be still and know that I am God. I can't think of a better flower than the gooseneck loosestrife. It looks like the head of a goose there on the screen, doesn't it? It's a beautiful picture. And there was the gooseneck loosestrife patiently waiting by my patio, assembled by the great glory of God, and there just a time of relaxation and remembering. And what do they teach us all? They teach us all, be still and know that I am God. Not only will the Lord help us in natural disasters, he will also help us in the man-made disasters, the kind I spoke of at the very beginning of the service this morning. You see these in verses 6 through 9. Look what it says. The heathen raged. Doesn't that remind you of Psalm 2, where it talks about why do the nations rage? Why do the heathen rage? The heathens raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spears in sunder. He burns the chariot in fire. Just as the stormy waves rage upon the unmoving shore, so the nations rebel against God. Just as the mountains are moved by great earthquakes, so kingdoms are moved. And in all this upheaval, here is what we know. We know the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And the Lord really invites us. He extends an invitation to you in this passage, and here it is. He said, come, behold the works of the Lord. Why not take some time this week to be still and know? Go and sit on your own patio. Just observe in your own backyard the peaceful stillness. Come, behold the works of the Lord and see what he's done in creation. But then most importantly, what he has done among the nations. Which nations could we point to that have raised up their ugly fist in rebellion against God and have continued to stand? The answer would be, there isn't one. This is what is most terrifying about our nation. All the nations that forget God, the psalmist reminds us. Those nations that forget God shall be cast into hell. The most tragic thing about our nation would be that we would forget God. Wait, how do we recapture our remembrance of God? I believe it begins with the people right here in this room obeying God's command, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And in that way, you and I come to have genuine rest for our souls. This is why the Lord Jesus would tell us that he came to give us rest for our souls. And it's all because he has framed the ages. He will make wars to cease throughout the world. In fact, God will destroy the instruments of war, according to this passage, and all will be still. How would we apply this today? How would we take what we are learning here and begin to apply it? Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote these words. He said, Alps and Andes may tremble, but faith rests on a firmer basis and is not to be moved by swelling seas. Evil may ferment, wrath may boil, pride may foam, but the brave heart of holy confidence trembles not. Great men who are like mountains may quake for fear in times of great calamity, but the man whose trust is in God needs never to be dismayed. I'd like to take today's message and apply it in three ways with three stories. First of all, those sons of Korah. If you were to go back and look at Numbers chapter 16 and the surrounding passage, you would discover that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rose up in rebellion against Moses, and they suffered the awful consequences of that rebellion. What is fascinating about this psalm, as well as Psalm 42, is they are dedicated to the sons of Korah. It's especially astounding that the sons of Korah would be asked to sing a special hymn or a special psalm about the fact that the earth moves and the waves roar. But the wonderful refrain at the end of that is this. The Lord says, be still and know that I am God. You may be here today and say, I do not have an ancestry of righteous people. I don't have a long line of great-grandfathers and grandfathers and my father who honored the Lord. Dear friend, neither did the sons of Korah. But they were God's specially chosen vessel to proclaim to all the Lord's message, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. This is the Lord of hosts. He is the God of Jacob, the great fortress of Jacob. Turn with me over to Genesis chapter 35 just for a moment. Let's see if we can make the connection here with that wonderful understanding of the God of Jacob. On this Father's Day 2017, let's consider the words that are there in Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, and if you would, look at verse 3. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 3. This is Jacob speaking. The Lord had commanded him in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 1 to take his family and go to a place called Bethel, a place very familiar to Jacob. He had called it the house of God, an amazing place where he had seen a wonderful vision in his dreams. Look at what it says in verse 3. Jacob said to his family, "Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went." You see what he's saying there? For all the great-grandfathers and grandfathers and fathers in the room, you see what he's saying there? He's saying, God answered me in the day of my distress, and he was with me wherever I went. What do you think the next generation really needs to know? What do you think they really need to embrace? Will they have times of distress? Oh, most certainly they will have times of distress. And here is Jacob. And remember, the end of our psalm says, the God of Jacob. And it's about the fortress, the refuge that our God is. He said, God answered me in the day of my distress, and he was with me in the way which I went. Now picture a young man trudging across the wilderness in chains. He is a stranger, sold into slavery in a strange land. Nobody cares about him. Nobody thinks about his needs. And you and I have often wondered about this teenager. And we've often wondered, how on earth did he move two great nations for God? How is it possible that this great work was done in this young man? And I would point out that as he trudged across that desert and thought, what do I know? What do I know about life and reality? And what do I know about my God? I would suggest to you that the words of his father came to him, came to the mind of Joseph. And he said, I remember my father told me, God answered me in the day of my distress, and he was with me wherever I went. Can you see how across the generations that can move generation after generation after generation to truly come and behold the works of the Lord and understand? I would suggest to you that that was very much in his mind as the Lord used him to not only deliver Egypt but also Israel. He is the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob is our refuge, and Joseph learned that. Or turn forward to Luke chapter 10 just for a moment. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, we have the understanding about two sisters named Martha and Mary. And I'll read this, beginning with verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. Think about these two sisters, and Jesus and his disciples are there. We know from another passage, the name of the town is Bethany. These two sisters are the sisters of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead in John chapter 11. And they want to extend hospitality to Jesus. And one sister is very intent on being a very good hostess. And the other serves, but she doesn't take exactly the same approach. And the difference between those two is the difference between learning what it means to be still and know that he is God. Look in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house as a wonderful hostess. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful or necessary. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Here is Martha, careful, troubled about many things, about serving the Lord. And she's missing the point. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listen to his word? Could we put ourselves in the Mary's sandals just for a moment and ask, what was that like? And why was it different than what happened with Martha? We don't know exactly what Jesus said that day, but we do know the messages that were never very far from his lips. We know and understand how we could tie it together. But let's first ask, how will you use this Lord's Day? This Lord's Day, will it be so preoccupied that before the service is over, you must jump online and finish out your game before Sunday school? Or on the way home, you can't wait to watch that video on your phone, or you can't wait to get home this afternoon and turn on the baseball game, or all the things that so readily push aside this stillness that this passage is speaking of. Could you and I take time today on this Lord's Day just to be still and know that He is God? To this week, set aside some time from our television watching and our constant looking to see if we received an email and our social media, just to be still, to sit at Jesus' feet and to hear His words. Noisy, sinful souls are we, and we are in desperate need. We don't know exactly what the Lord told Mary that day, but we know the messages that He often gave. We know it's the story of the God of Jacob, the Lord of hosts, the mighty fortress, the Lord of armies, who will be exalted in the earth. It is the story of the Prince of Peace who delivered us from what Psalm chapter 40, verse 1, it refers to it in our version as He brought me up out of a horrible pit. The literal rendering there is a pit of noise. It's the Prince of Peace who brings us up out of the pit of noise. Noisy, sinful souls such as ours cannot be still without the one who said, "Peace, be still." And the winds ceased, and there was a great calm, according to Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. In the words of Jim Berg's series, you and I need the quieting of the noisy soul. But our sin stirs up strife while we seek stillness. Only the one who died for those sins can make us whole again. Only the Christ who rose from the dead can cause us to be still and know. In the face of death, yes, even in the face of dying, what advice would you give today to Bill Logan if you were standing by his bedside? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. And God is our mighty fortress. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you today that you have given us this wonderful command to be still and know that you are God. Lord, help us. There are so many things that just are pushing in upon us, causing us to be distracted, setting our minds aside in troubled ways. Lord, I ask this day that you would help us to connect these two wonderful commands, and that, Lord, we would be still and know that you are God. Lord, I pray today for anyone here who has not truly embraced God as his or her mighty fortress, a place of refuge. Lord, these are troubling times. I ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you would draw them to yourself, that they would come to know the Prince of Peace. They would be drawn up out of the pit of noise, that their feet would be set upon a rock, their established goings would demonstrate to all that they have a new song in their mouth, even praise unto our God. Dear Heavenly Father, help all of us today then to find that place of solitude, a place where we can be still and know that you are God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to begin by singing that that hymn that Pastor was talking about in the service. Luther's "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." He wrote.